So we've been talking about this idea of the gospel in progress and how it's still in progress with so many of us. We've been talking about how Jesus was resolute when he went to Jerusalem. Remember that people told him, don't go. There's something going on there. You may not be safe. And Jesus said, I don't care. I'm going. I'm going to go anyway. We talked about how he entered Jerusalem last Sunday. Remember, it's Palm Sunday. That's another Sunday that the world celebrates as Jesus enters into Jerusalem. And remember the shouts. People were saying, what? Hosanna. And what does that mean? You remember what that means? Save us. Save us now. People were crying out, Hosanna, save us. We talked about how things turned quickly. I'm still working that one out. How did it go so bad, so quick? We talked about how there was one moment when people were praising him, and then the very next moment they are crying out for his death. I mean, maybe they looked at a Messiah and they saw someone who they wanted to be a certain way, but he didn't quite meet up to their expectations. Maybe they were expecting a king who would eradicate the Romans. Maybe they were expecting somebody who would eradicate radical Roman ideology. Maybe they were expecting a Messiah who would punish the Romans. Maybe also punish the Jews who did not live up to snuff. Maybe they were expecting a high priest who would make his way to the temple and he would make his way past those infidels, those Gentiles, the sick people, the sinners at our temple courts, and make his way to the center where all the deserving Jews were. Maybe these people were expecting a Messiah who would expel the Gentiles and bring judgment on everyone else. But he didn't. He didn't do any of that. What did he do instead? He brought a gospel of love. He brought a gospel of grace, of hope, future. He was the good news from God, first for the Jew, but they did not recognize him. I think when you think about this culture, they spent thousands of years creating God in their own image. And whenever he finally shows up, they didn't really recognize him. I think it's hard whenever you imagine God in a particular way. It's hard to see him for who he really is. But Jesus, he was a physical reminder that God is paying attention, that he is still here. He's active. He's present. Jesus, remember, Jesus was like the manna in the wilderness. Remember that? How he was the bread of life. How like manna, the gospel could not be hoarded. You can't hoard the gospel. Keep it into yourself. It has to be shared. It has to be given out. Because if it doesn't, it spoils. There are some people who've got the gospel inside of them, and you know what? They've never let it out, and it spoiled them rotten. Because they think it's all for them. Remember, we talked about this idea that when you let the gospel out, that's when transformation into the image of Jesus Christ happens. So here we are now. Holy Week, Easter Sunday, we are in a place where we are standing alongside most everyone else thinking about the same thing. Jesus Christ has risen. So, what's the story of Easter? Do you know it? We sat down this week with some of our kids and our adults, and we asked them to tell us the story of Easter, and this is the result. So, let's watch.
What do you think Easter means? What does Easter mean to you?
You get candy.
You get candy. What's your favorite kind of candy?
S'mores.
S'mores.
What do you think Easter is? You don't know? What do you think of when you hear Easter, what do you think of?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I think of eggs.
Think of eggs, Easter eggs? You know there's a whole lot more to Easter than just Easter eggs.
When the Easter Bunny comes and when the Easter Bunny hides eggs and sometimes the Easter Bunny hides chocolate bunnies with flowers.
I remember going to my house, going to somebody's house for Easter, and I was like, and I was freaking out because I didn't know where my Easter bucket was. I didn't know what I was gonna use, and I was so freaked out because I thought I wasn't gonna hunt.
What do you think Easter stands for?
Easter is when we celebrate the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. You know, Jesus died on the cross for us.
Yes, I know that.
And then
Easter is about when Jesus gave us a very special gift. Not a gift of candy, but the gift of himself. He is our Easter gift.
Well, Easter is, the Good Friday is the day that Christ died, and he was risen on Easter Sunday, 3 days later, so that we might have redemption for our sins.
When Jesus got crucified.
Mm-hmm. And what else was important about that?
So he could die for our sins.
And did he just die? Did he stay buried?
No. He got out of the tomb.
That's right. He rose, huh?
And when he got in the tomb, he was wrapped up in white.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what the white is.
It's just wrappers. But then what happened?
How did
when
he get out?
Why? I guess God opened the tomb, didn't he?
Or Jesus. Or an angel. Because
mm-hmm.
Jesus can't open it.
And did the angel tell the ladies he's not in here anymore?
Because the angel actually opened it,
mm-hmm.
so Jesus can get out.
That's
he couldn't live his whole life in there. I couldn't, because I wouldn't have any food, any water, nothing.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Brian.
Happy Easter. I'm Riley.
I'm Elaine. Happy Easter.
My name is Liam.
My name is Larry. Happy Easter.
Day. I'm Kim.
I'm Kington.
Happy Easter.
I love that. I love putting a video camera and mics in front of kids. You really don't ever know what's going to come out. Easter is important for all of us, isn't it? Sometimes I think it helps children. Takes children to help us answer some of the tough questions. You know the Easter story. I guess the real question that we're going to ask today is, do you believe the story? Sometimes I think it's easy to believe because we live in a world whenever we talk about these things, we talk about them alongside other people who also believe the same things that we do. So sometimes the conversation is more easy. It's not odd at all. But what if you had to tell the story to someone who does not believe? Someone who maybe even never heard of the story before. I had the privilege of having lunch, several meetings with a guy who grew up in rural China. He's about 50-something right now, and he grew up in a farming community. So his home was actually a cave. And it was very interesting. He grew up in the Cultural Revolution, you know. And so he told me the story about whenever the prayers went up for his village to have rain, but the rain never came. So what did they do as a community? They did away with their Buddha statues. They took them all as a community and put them in the dump. From that moment on, he did not believe anything. He said he was maybe 6 or 7. He didn't believe in anything supernatural, didn't believe in anything. He didn't have any concept of God until he was 20 years old and went to college in London. Very first time he ever heard the name of Jesus Christ. So as we began to meet, he asked me, tell me the stories from the Bible. I want to hear them. And so I remember, sure, I'll tell you. I love that. And I started telling him about Mary and Joseph. And so I told him the story. And an angel of the Lord told Mary that she was going to get pregnant from the Holy Spirit. And as the words are coming out of my mouth, you start realizing, this sounds pretty crazy. Oh, yeah. So Jesus was crucified, and then on the third day, he came back to life. And he's looking at me, really? I tell you, in those moments, whenever you're talking and telling the story to somebody who has no frame of reference, you find out really quickly what it is you believe and what it is you don't. Because when they're looking at you with this crazy look, like, really? What have you been putting into your body? So the question today, do you believe? Do you believe? Let's take a moment. We're going to read the story. We're looking at John's account. So John chapter 20, take a moment to turn in there. John has no problem at all writing about angels or the supernatural. His other book is Revelation, so you know how that is. He has no problem. I think it's because he has had an experience with the living Christ. He knows what a miracle is. He knows the supernatural. He has witnessed it firsthand. But he's telling us what happened in his own way. So before we read, let's remind ourselves of what happened. Okay, kids, let's remind ourselves of a couple things that happened. Remember, it's Passover. Okay, that's like the Super Bowl for the Jews, right? It's like Easter is Super Bowl for the Christian world, okay? They were all together ready to celebrate Passover. Jesus entered, and they thought he was the Messiah. Things got ugly, and so what did they do? A man named Judas, he was a friend of Jesus, he decided to betray him. And so he got the high priests and all these guards and brought them to the garden, and they captured Jesus. They beat him up, they took him to the high priest in the middle of the night, who just somehow, for some reason, happened to be up and ready for a trial, which they had. And so after that, they found him guilty. Back and forth conversation between the Romans and the high priest, they decide, hey, we'll just crucify him. Let's get rid of him once and for all. But they wanted to do it quick because, you know, it's Passover, Sabbath. It's a holiday, so you want to get these things done quick. So Jesus, he's put on the cross, and then he dies around 3 in the afternoon. His friends and disciples are nowhere to be found. Well, except one, John, and these brave, courageous women who are at the cross with him. Yeah, we never wondered that? Where are the disciples? Where are they? But the women are there. Sunday morning comes. The sun rises, or begins to rise, as it usually does. And this is where our story begins. John chapter 20, verse 1. Here we go. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came up to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. That's John, from everything I'm understanding, is that John, that's how he refers to himself. And said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Thank you for letting us know who won the race. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings and lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in place by itself. Then the other disciples, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. So let's think about this. What could be going through these people's minds at this given moment? Perhaps they thought it was theft. Someone stole Jesus' body. So what do? Do you call the police? Do you go to the high priest? You can't do any of that. These are wanted men on some level. So maybe it's just another bad event in a series of bad events for a really bad weekend. Everything that they've ever wanted and thought was going to happen, the hope has been dashed at this point. And so this is just one more thing to make them miserable. But John says something in verse 8 we cannot miss. He says this, "Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and he believed." Hang on to that. So they returned home. John doesn't finish there. There's more to the story, and there's still this issue of Mary, who doesn't seem to want to leave the tomb. Let's continue. "But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. Now as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. And they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'They have taken my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Now, I'm fascinated by this because it's been a whole weekend and Mary is still crying. The disciples weren't. The angels didn't show up for Peter and John, but they showed up for Mary. Blessed are those that mourn, right? They say, "Why are you still weeping?" I mean, she was so deep in despair and grief, she didn't even recognize that these were angels. She responds to them, and then she turns away quickly, and then she sees another man. And then it's common. My question is it common to see this many people in a graveyard early in the morning? Does that not seem weird to anyone else? And what does this man ask? He says to her the same thing. "Why are you weeping?" And she doesn't even answer his question. I can hear exasperation in her voice. And she says, what does she say? She says, just tell me where that they have laid him. I mean, by the way, I think sometimes when we are in grief, when we're in that moment of deep despair, when we're so consumed with self-absorbed pity and probably rightfully so, some of us, when we're in that place, I think it's hard to see anything clearly. Seems like sometimes we need two angels and a Messiah, doesn't it? To get us out of that thing we found ourselves in, that pit of despair. And she couldn't see. She could not see. But then what does Jesus say? He says this, Jesus said to her, "Mary." That's it. Mary. Has God ever called you by name? Has God ever called you by name? Maybe He's calling you now. I wonder, how do we respond when that happens? How did Mary respond? She turned to Him, and in Hebrew says, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Rabboni, it's a very affectionate term, my teacher, my master. It's reverent, it's affectionate, it's what she called him. And I wonder in that moment, as I think through the text, in that moment, was she ready? She saw him. Was she ready for everything to go right back to where it was? For everything to go back to normal? Was she ready? Was she wanting that normal? I mean, for everything to be as it all used to be? I think in that moment, Jesus is telling her, no, it will never be the same again. Things are different. So what does he do? He tells her to go. He tells her to tell others. Don't keep this good news in, Mary. Let it out. He gives her a mission. So how did she respond? She says this. In verse 18, Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. And this is good news, y'all. Y'all. This is gospel. Here. And the thing I love about the story is that for some, you would hear this and you'd say, good, okay, good, a nice ending. No, this is not the end of the story. This is only the beginning. Because do you know what this means? Do you know what resurrection means? This means that life will never be the same again. I mean, why is it important that Jesus lived a perfect life, that he died on a cross for us, that he rose again? Why is it important at all? Why do we celebrate? Why do we remember? It's because in First Peter 3:18, it says, Christ suffered for sins once for all, righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He died, but he did not stay dead because he conquered death. He overcame that that those chains. He surpassed everything. The things we could not do, Jesus did. The moment he opened his eyes, can you imagine? Think about that. The moment he reopened his eyes that were dead. The moment he breathed life back into his dead lungs. The moment his blood started to go again. The moment that he sat up with muscles that were dead. He showed us that we do not have to be afraid anymore of anything. We do not have to be afraid of death. Are you afraid? I mean, what are we afraid of? Are we afraid of death? I mean, death has no power over us. Are we afraid of humiliation when we share this story with others? You know, how people will see us because of who we are and what we believe? I mean, what is there to humiliate? It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me, in Galatians. It says that he suffered humiliation so that we could know God. Are we afraid of not getting justice or not getting what we deserve or having our rights trampled on? Praise God that we don't get what we deserve. Oh my goodness, I'm so glad I don't get what I deserve. What we get instead, it's grace. It's hope. Good news. Are we afraid of those people who might see us differently? That our well-being and our jobs may be in jeopardy? If someone finds out that we're followers of Jesus Christ, are we afraid of that? Blessed are you who suffer because of people who persecute you because you're righteous. I mean, yours is the kingdom of God. We do not have to fear because Jesus conquered fear and death through this miracle of resurrection. And the resurrection is not the end of the story. It is only the beginning. Because Jesus died to bring us to God. The good news is still good news. The gospel is still in progress because we're still telling his story, aren't we? So my question for us today is, do we believe? Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus died, that he rose again? Do you believe this story? Kids, I'm going to ask you, do you believe this story? Do you believe Jesus died and rose again? Do you believe it? It's okay. Say amen or say yes. Kids, say it again really loud. Do you believe this story? Adults, do you believe that Jesus died, that he lived a life, that he rose again for us? Do you believe that? I'm going to say it again. Do you believe? Because he is risen. This is not a fairy tale, folks. This is real. I believe. I bet my life on it. I'm betting my life on everything that Jesus did. I'm betting my life that he died for us. I'm betting my life that there is more to come. And I know that there are people in here who think, oh, I just don't know about this. I've been there. People in here have been there. I'm going to encourage you. Find the answers. Maybe you want to believe, you just don't know how. Maybe you need to talk to someone. Have them tell you the story. Someone who really does believe. I tell you, if you want to know, ask a kid. If you want to hear someone who really believes this, talk to a child. It might just put the Spirit of God in you. This is no ordinary day. This is the day when everything came together. The promises were fulfilled. Life has been given to all. It is yours for the taking. You just have to believe. You have to turn from that life that you have lived and embrace what God has for you. It could be a brand new day for you. God is good. And he is risen. Let's say it together. He is risen. Let's stand up and say this together. He is risen. One more time. He is risen. Amen. I'll be down in the front if you need to talk.